I am so glad, as Pastor Dan says when he introduces the worship on Sunday with announcements, he says, we are so glad that you chose to worship with us today. And we are glad. We are grateful that you have chose to worship with us today. We're grateful to have Steve Respeck in the house and after his knee surgery, and just grateful to see all of you. And y'all just look great this morning. You might, if you don't mind, every once in a while, just kind of shoot a smile this way, okay? All right. That'll work. I've been accused of smiling a lot, which I wear that gladly. So I'm going to borrow Amber and her mom this morning.
Forgot She's my like, name already.
I know. We'll just call you Mom. How's that sound? All right. If you wouldn't mind, make sure everybody has one of these. In fact, you may want to take two of these because this is our template for the year. It's Kim, I know. See, it's that merry-go-round. It just comes around. I forget things, the merry-go-round comes around, there it is. So Kim Penrod, all right. If you also have your bulletin handy on the back, we're going to walk through that outline. I encourage you to join along with us. I had so much fun going over this sermon earlier this morning. We'll see if I have as much fun delivering it to you. So just pray. In fact, while you're getting those sheets, just join with me for a moment of prayer, okay? Jesus, today, as we've heard, you are truly our all in all. Thank you for the worship that reminds us that you are the focus in our life, that it's not about us, that it's all about you, and that you want to speak to us even now as we look into your word and as we consider what you want to say and initiate in our lives. Bless each of us, Lord, and give the preacher ears to hear as well as each one in the pews. We praise you. We thank you. In your name, amen. Amen. Okay, last week we talked about the thought of Groundhog Day, that if we did not make a change in our lives from a self-centered focus to a God-centered focus, that we would be stuck in Groundhog Day. We would be stuck, just like Phil was in the movie, Bill Murray. He was stuck, and every morning that crazy monotonous song from Sonny and Cher would come on. I got you, babe, at 6 o'clock. The little digital thing would flip over. He would wake up, and after a few days, he was ready to end it all. He even tried. It didn't work. But when he learned to think away from himself and started being others-focused, and for us as Christians, it's God-focused and God-centered, his world started to change. You understand? I'll just speak for myself here for a minute. The moments I'm most frustrated is when I've forgotten about being God-centered and something affected me and hurt my feelings. Does that ever happen to you? Did anybody else ever get your feelings hurt besides me? Yeah, thank you for Greg and Sherry for being honest this morning, and the rest of you will pray for you. So anyway, but you know, the thing is this, is we do have that happen, and we get our feelings hurt because in that moment, if we were totally honest, we forgot about being God-centered. So the goal is this, is to be God-centered and not self-centered. I love this quote from Blackaby. There is a DNA in every believer to know and do the will of God. That's just part of our DNA. We talked about that last week, trying to find out if you're part Irish or Scottish or German or whatever your background or history may be, your DNA. There's something in the believer. If you're a believer in Jesus, there's something in your DNA that says, I want to know and do the will of God. I want to include that. We talked about last week, it's God's purpose, not our plans. Please understand this. What we do this morning, what you do in these next 20 to 30 minutes will affect our world for the next 50 years. You catch that? Our attitude, our actions, our inactions will affect our world for the next 50 years. So my goal is God's purpose, that we're caught up in God's purpose and not just my plans. All throughout the Bible, we see that God raised up somebody in the midst of a crisis. Noah, who was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, was walking with God. Abraham, a great and mighty man. All the nations of the earth are blessed by him because he chose to be God-centered and not himself-centered. Moses, it says in Numbers, Moses was very meek, more than all the people on the face of the earth. That's one meek dude. David, in Acts chapter 13, it talks about this. After Saul, and this is in Acts referring back to the Old Testament. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. David was God-centered. He will do everything I want him to do. This is God speaking concerning his servant David and being quoted later on in the New Testament. Gideon, the angel appears to him and says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And then Deborah, a prophetess judging Israel. Following God's ways, we talked about that as well. Who delivered Israel out of Egypt? It was God. It was God. He used Moses to do it. And then we finished up last week by saying this, knowing what God is about to do, we can know what God is up to. We can know what God is going to do next. Do you know that? We can know that. I'm not talking about some kind of psychic, but we can know because the prophets told us. Jesus prayed that we would know. John chapter 17. The problem is we sell ourselves way too short. In fact, I believe we get caught up in a wind tunnel. I just like to call it this, a wind tunnel of our own doing, that we have heard enough voices, that we are so much into a political vent or a cultural bent or whatever, that we're so caught up that we just can't listen beyond that and really listen to what God wants to do in our lives. This whole year is about experiencing God. And I want to tell you this morning that God can do and wants to do something in each of our lives. You're not too young, you're not too old, you're not too smart, you're not too dim. God wants to do something in all of our lives, okay? This morning we're going to talk about this. God, as you looked at last week, as he was speaking in the lives of all those people, God wants to initiate something in your life. And that's the goal of the message this morning. God wants to initiate something in your life. He wants to start. He wants to take the initiative. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal his mission. And when he comes into our lives and does that, there will be a change. As God works on you, you will be changed. One of my favorite passages over in Philippians chapter 2, it talks about we should not look out for our own interests, but also the interests of others. And we should consider the mindset of Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not take that nature, that office as something to be embraced, but he emptied himself of everything, becoming a servant. So Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I'm the Son of God, look at me." He said, "You know what? I'm a servant." In fact, he didn't even have to say it. He just did it. And you read down through that, and it talks about how God has exalted him to the highest office because how he emptied himself and made him Lord of all. And the fact that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Yeah. I love that passage. What we're looking at this morning is the hook. It's the whole backstory. It's the whole purpose behind this Jesus emptying himself and Jesus coming and serving in our world. And this scripture is for you. We're going to camp on this verse today, okay? Are you with me so far? We're going to camp on this verse. Let's read it together after the word today. Are you ready? It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I may have been a little hungry when I wrote this and sent this off to Janie because in the outline it says, instead of the word work, it says the word fork. God wants to work in our lives. It's not about cake and pie, although I love cake and pie. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I like that. God is giving you and me an invitation. He wants to initiate something in our lives. As I was going through the message this morning, I kept getting more excited as I was talking about it. I'm preaching and talking to myself. I'm like, this is awesome. God wants to initiate something in you. We sell ourselves way too short. He invites us to align our lives to his purpose and his will and his kingdom. He wants to develop his character in us. He wants to reveal, get this, he wants to even reveal his thoughts in us. Now, sometimes we have thoughts, don't we? Okay? I can just throw out a word and you can get a thought, okay? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? I'm going to throw out a word, okay? Don't say anything, just listen, okay? Hillary. Oh, there goes a thought. All I have to do is just say Hillary and your mind goes pew. George Washington, your mind goes another way. Abraham Lincoln. I mean, you throw out names and minds are just pew. But God wants to initiate something fresh and new in our lives if we will listen to him. If we will listen. This is the invitation. Paul talks about the mission, and then it's go time. It's time to do the mission. It's that invitation that he gives us. The problem is we have a very difficult time listening. I remember we were in a church in Iowa. We were associates, It was a huge sanctuary. Our pastor was preaching that day, and man, he had a great sermon. It was awesome. And one of the ushers was sitting on the back, kind of about where Deb is back in the corner there, and he came to the pastor after the service and said, "Pastor, that hurt. That hurt." And he said, "I didn't really feel like it was that hard of a sermon. What do you mean?" He says, "Everybody sitting in front of me was just shoveling it back. They weren't listening. And so I got everything." That's the problem. We don't listen. You've heard the statement, it goes in one ear and out the other. We've got to listen. God is speaking all the time. God is at work all the time. In fact, if you grab that little handout that we gave you off the back of the bulletin from January, God is at work all the time. It's our responsibility to find out where that zone is, where He is at work. And to stop trying to do this, that, and the other until we get a word from Him as to what He is going to do. He's on mission. I don't want to miss the mission. I don't want to miss the mission. My friend Don Harris, some of you know who Don is. Don told me when we went on our first mission trip, he said, "Jim," or Pastor, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I've got an arrangement with the airlines." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah. You have an arrangement? I've got an arrangement with all the airlines." I was listening carefully. I wanted to hear what this arrangement was. He says, "I have an arrangement with each airline that if I'm not at the gate when it's time for them to leave, they have permission to go ahead and leave without me." I thought that was pretty cool. See, the problem is God is on mission and He's out here doing this and this and this. And if we're not careful, we're going to get stuck right here. Yes. We're just going to get stuck right here. In fact, I want more people to be on the mission. Yes. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Philippians 2, verse 13. The first part is this. God is working in you. God is at work in you. It's not just the fact that we see things around us, like the seasons changing and leaves come and leaves grow and crops are planted and crops are harvested and all these things. God is at work in you. He's at work in you. The same word we get, the word energy, is here. That's what this work is. You hear somebody say, "Well, they're like the Energizer Bunny Rabbit." He wants to do that in you, to energize you, to operate in you, to accomplish something in you, to display His activity in you, to be engaged in you. That's powerful. He wants to be efficient in you. He wants to be effective in you. He wants to be fervent in you. He wants to be mighty in you. He wants to show forth His work in you. Don't forget that. Don't let the plane take off without you. He wants to be at work in you. The second thing is, or the second part of the scripture, to will in us. He has a design for your life. He has a will, a purpose for your life. He wants to do a desire for your life. It's I get those property brothers, I think they're called, and they meet with people and they go into this house, and the house is like a shack. You've seen that show, haven't you? They go in and it's like, you know, it's like the walls are kind of bowed a little bit and the ceiling is sagging and they're walking around and I'm like, "Get out of there, save yourselves. It's going down at any moment," you know, and they're just walking around and they're like, "We can do this, we can do this." I'm like, "I don't see it." And then all of a sudden they sit down with the couple and they pull up the laptop. You've seen this. Other shows do this too. And like, "We can do this." And all of a sudden, this beautiful stuff starts appearing on the walls. And there's this island, this granite-topped island. And all these new appliances are there. It's like, "Whoa, how did they do that?" And you go into the living room, and here comes a fireplace. And there's a couch and a love seat and all this stuff. It's like, "That's awesome." And then the fun thing is, at the end of the show, it looks a lot like that. It really does. I'm like, "How did they do that?" God wants to do the same thing in your life. It's just very much like that. It's a design. It's a thought that he wants to do it in you. But oh, how we sell ourselves too short. We beat ourselves up. We make excuses. We blame others. Stop it. Just stop it. And understand this, that God is at work in you to will in you, to design something in you. He is so eager to work in you. You know, sometimes we look at people like, how do they even ever slow down? They're just like always on the go. And they're just always so upbeat. They're always so happy. They're like the Energizer Rabbit. God is just that eager to do something in your life. But sometimes we behave in the Winnie the Pooh cartoon like Eeyore. Nothing good ever happens to me. Or we're like Piglet. Pooh, what are we going to do now? When God is as anxious as Tigger to do something in your life, He really is anxious to do something in your life. He's eager to do something in your life. That's what this will is all about. He wants to empower you. He wants to listen carefully. He wants to manifest Himself in your life. You get that? See, holiness is not like one of my friends used to say, a bun and a frown. Holiness is a thrill. Holiness is excitement. Holiness is freedom. That's why the reason I love that old song of the church, Glorious Freedom. Freedom from sin and all of its torment. You say, well, maybe not me. Yes, all of you, all of us. He wants to do that. That's His desire. That's His will. He wants to inbirth a persuasion in us that will focus more and more on Him. Great and mighty. Great and mighty. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. He wants to be great and mighty in you. I don't believe it. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm asking you to read the book and discover it for yourself. He wants to be great and mighty in you, to be resolved, determined. God is determined to do something awesome in your life. And then I love this last little phrase that says this. He wants to work out His good pleasure. Eutychia is the original word, but don't worry about that. It's good pleasure. Good. You is good. Pleasure. Dokia. He wants to work out His pleasure in you. He wants to glorify Himself in you. I see pictures every once in a while. Mark Murphy is not only an awesome singer and a poet, he's also an awesome photographer. And he will put pictures on Facebook from time to time of an eagle sweeping down to a body of water. And there he grabs this fish and his talons is taken off. Like, how does he do that? Sometimes he's done that with an Apple telephone. I'm like, how do you do that with an iPhone? But I'm thinking, that is majesty. That is God at work. A beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunset, trees that are budding, crops that are growing. That must make God happy. He looks at you before He looks at that and says, my good pleasure. Yes. I want to unleash in my people. Amen. That's a good thing. We ought to be right in front of the line saying, God is on the move. And He's doing something for His pleasure, for His will. It's His intention. You know something that gets me excited is, and I don't usually get a steak when we go out to eat because I've been disappointed more than I've been excited, okay? So if we go out to the Roadhouse sometime, you can count on me to get one of two things. Either like ribs, because I love the meat off the bone ribs at the Roadhouse, or their roadkill, okay? I know I can't go wrong with roadkill. And that's it. That's just it. And that's ground chuck or ground beef, okay? It's not really roadkill, okay? We've gone there before with people like, hey, I want to get the roadkill. They're like, are you joking? No. But, you know, there's nothing better, and you might tell me after the service where that place is that serves up a beautiful steak. It doesn't have to be super thick, but it needs to be juicy. It needs to have kind of like the butter melted on top. And when I bite into that, it's a, oh. Have you ever had that steak? I usually have to have it on the grill, okay? Yeah, at home. But there have been times, there have been those rare moments when I've been in and it's like, oh yeah, that gives me great pleasure. That is just so good. I don't have to chew and chew and chew and sometimes cause people to look away so I can pull out part that I couldn't get chewed and stick it down on the floor. You know, you've probably, I wouldn't swallow that big glob of stuff I can't chew, you know, but it's such great pleasure. I'm like, when I'm done with that steak, I'm like, oh, I'm ready for a nap. This is so awesome. God's pleasure. Do you know what gets God like that? It's more than a good steak. It's you. Right. Yeah. You are what gives God pleasure. Yeah. It's you. He wants to, as you go through life and as you're doing, I love doing what I do. I love being here on Sunday. I love preaching to you. I love fellowshipping with you. I love what we did yesterday. We're out walking for a mile, and there were others that were walking for a mile, and for the Muncie Mission, I love doing anything we can for the Muncie Mission, and I saw Steve Lindell. And you all know Steve Lindell, 104 WLBC, and I love when he does those little live vignettes on Facebook. I saw Steve Lindell. He's standing there, and he's like, and I'm just having a great time. Coach and I are walking along. Basketball players having a great time. And he's got the camera going. And I just run and say, "You're Steve Lindell! You're amazing! You rock!" Because I think Steve Lindell does that on the radio with people. You know, he's all about it. I'm like, I want him to know that he matters. You know? And I looked at Coach. I said, "Sorry, Coach. Sometimes the crazy just has to come out." But I'm really not sorry. Because I love what I do. I love what I do. I think about Eric Little in the movie Chariots of Fire. All about a man who had convictions about running on Sunday, but was a great runner the same. And he says this, "In the dust of defeat, as well as in the laurels of victory, there is a glory to be found if one has done his best. God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." What are you doing that just lets you know that, you know, that you're just feeling God's pleasure in your life? That's what this initiation is all about. He wants to initiate something in your life so that you will feel his pleasure. You, let me just say this. I don't know if I went past this or it's going to come up. Maybe, wait, hold on a second. Hold on. Okay, it's later. Okay, God working in our lives. Okay, now how does God reveal his plan? Let's just give you these bullet points, and they may be in your bulletin. I don't have a copy, you do. How does God reveal his plan? How does he initiate his plan? Well, first of all, he lets me see what's already happening around me. Then he speaks through scripture, impressing truth into my head and my heart. He gives me the earnest desire that grows strongly as I pray. And he creates circumstances around me which bring opportunities for ministry. Is that all spelled out or are there blanks there? There are blanks. Let's back up. I'm sorry. I appreciate you, those of you taking notes, okay? Those that you're sleeping right now will be done in about 10 minutes, okay? All right, you can knock your neighbor and say he'll be done soon. All right, number one, he lets me see what's already happening around me. Let me just go ahead and tell you the story about George Mueller, okay, and how this fits, and then we'll fill in the next ones as we get there, okay? George Mueller, preacher back in the 1800s in England, he saw the people of God were discouraged, and God was really initiating something in George Mueller's heart. George Mueller said this, "They're no longer looking for God to do anything unusual in their midst. They're not trusting God to answer prayer. They have little faith." Boy, that sure burdened George Mueller. So he saw that God was wanting to do something around him. And he began to pray, and his heart was so open. He just knew that God wanted to do a work. And this was Mueller saying about himself, "God is wanting to do a work in me so big that people, when they see that work, they'll know it couldn't be me. It had to be God." How's your life? Is your life just so limited that only people see just what you're doing? Hey, good job. You're a good guy. You're a good lady. I like you. You're friendly to everybody. Or do people see something going on in you that's just so big that only God can make it happen? Mueller was watching and praying. And he latched onto a scripture we read last week, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." As Mueller felt God leading and he got involved with what God was doing, he started a place called the Scriptural Knowledge Institute. He also began an orphanage. He built four homes that cared for 2,000 children at one time. These four homes. Over time, there were 10,000 kids who were helped. Isn't that awesome? Kind of makes me think of Good News Crew. What does God want to initiate in Harris Chapel? That we can go to Selma, we can go to Monroe Central. And those kids will see God at work and they'll say, "You know what? Whatever they have, whatever this Jesus thing is all, I want that in my life." Do you know what? We're affecting the atmosphere of East Central Indiana for the next 50 years. And if you choose to get in on that, praise God. If you don't, praise God. We're just going to praise God. What's happening around me? Mueller saw that. Mueller jumped in. When Mueller died at 93 years, oh, by the way, he was able to raise in his time over $8 million. For all these things. And one of the things God told him to do was don't ask for money. Just pray. Raised $8 million and Mueller died at the age of 93. He was worth $800. God was using him. So what's God doing around us? What do we see? He saw that people were lacking faith. And the second thing, he saw that God was speaking through Scripture. God's speaking through Scripture. He speaks through circumstances, but he also speaks through Scripture. In fact, Mueller felt it so strongly that he started the Scriptural Knowledge Institute. God was speaking so much into his heart through Scripture. He gives us an earnest desire that grows as we pray. As Mueller prayed, the money came in. As Mueller prayed, the orphans were fed. As Mueller prayed, the Institute prospered. As Mueller and other people, something else that happens with this, kind of like with Mother Teresa, other people get on board. As God works in Mueller's life, other people wanted to get in on what God was doing in Mueller's life. A desire that grew stronger. As you pray, does your desire to do more for God grow? If it doesn't, you need to pray more, okay? Because God will cause that desire to grow stronger and stronger. It's kind of like Paul in Philippians. I don't have this in your notes, and even it's just like Paul is like, I'm straining ahead to get a hold of that which has got a hold of me. Paul's like, I'm praying, God's working. I got to pray more because God's working more. And the last thing is, he creates circumstances which bring opportunity for ministry. God initiating that. God is creating around us all the time circumstances for you and me. Do you understand that? More than ever before. Sometimes I get frustrated with all the modern technology because I feel like we can say and do anything, but we're not communicating with each other. We've lost the simple. We've lost the idea of listening. We lost the idea of truly communicating and seeing lives transformed because of all the voices that are out there. But the good news is this. God is still calling, and there are circumstances around us that will bring opportunities for ministry. I'll tell you quickly about a guy. I don't want to go into depth. D.L. Moody, raised in a huge family, said he was like the seventh child, and there were others that came after him, by the way. But anyway, Moody was used by God. In fact, I think of Moody in the 19th century like I think of Billy Graham in the 20th century. Someone said this about Moody. His life was just like Psalm 62:11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Moody was a man. Let me just throw some things at you. You can listen if you want. These are just some things that were part of Moody's life that helped to fit this template of these four things. Moody was surrendered. Moody was surrendered. In the early days of his work, he just talked about it, and he just kept saying, it just boggles my mind to see what God will do with a man who gives himself wholly to him. That was just one of his mantras. If I could just give myself wholly. He weighed like 280 pounds. He was probably about this tall. 280 pounds, but he was totally, every ounce was surrendered to him. Another thing, he was a man of prayer. Moody, they loved to hear him preach. Very few ever heard him pray, but those closest to him knew that he was a man of prayer. In fact, Moody said this, I've got so many things I have to do today that I better get up at 4 this morning to get started in prayer. And he was also that way with Bible reading. He said, I got to get up early. He was a man of prayer and a man of the Word. He said, I got to get up early and get in the Word early before all these other things start happening around me. He was a humble man. He used to be on the platform, and Moody thousands came, just like Billy Graham, thousands upon thousands came to hear him. And Moody was just like, I know I'm standing here today to bring a word. He said, but these guys who are going to come after me, they know so much more than I do. He was such a humble person. Moody was free from the love of money. Millions of dollars, just like with Mueller, millions of dollars back in the 1800s, that was even bigger, were passing through his hands over all these revivals and crusades and writing. He created hymnals. He helped others create hymnals. And millions of dollars were pouring in, and Moody just said, I don't even want to see it. I don't even want to touch it. Just wherever it needs to go. If it needs to for the cost of crusade, for the cost of ministry, for the cost of more people to be able to get hymnals, just spend the money. He wasn't lost in the love of money. He had a passion for the salvation of the lost. One more thing, and I'll come back to this. Well, no, I've got to leave it in this order. He had a passion for the lost. Moody, he came to a point in his life early on as a Christian where God laid on his heart. And I'm not saying this has to be you, but I like this. I need to talk to somebody every day about their soul. I cannot let 24 hours go by that I don't talk to somebody about Jesus, about their soul. This was Moody's conviction, okay? If you take it, go for it, great, honest, super great. If not, fine. But just, this is what a guy who was surrendered and listening and watching God at work. One evening, Moody was out. He'd come home from work, and this was before he was doing all these crusades, but he hadn't talked to anybody that day about Jesus. And there was a guy standing out on a street corner under a lamppost, and Moody went up to him and said, "Sir, can I just talk to you for a minute? Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus?" And the guy said, "Sir, that's none of your business. How rude. Get out of here." And Moody went home that night. He thought, "Man, maybe I missed something." And he went to bed, and he was praying for it, went to sleep. And the next day, one of his work associates came and said, "Moody, there was a guy you talked to last night about his soul." And he said, "I want you to know something. That deeply offended him." In fact, he said this, "Moody, you are doing more harm than good. You have zeal without knowledge. You insulted my friend. You went up to him, a perfect stranger, asked him if he were a Christian." And then he said it again, "You are doing more harm than good." Moody was crushed. And he thought to himself, "Maybe I am." He went back home later that night, and he was praying and just really kind of crying. So for several days, it just troubled him. He was so passionate for souls, but he thought, "Did I miss something? Do I have that zeal without knowledge? One night when he went to bed, there was a knock on the door, and it wasn't just a knock, it was a banging sound. He thought maybe something was wrong outside, maybe there was a fire or something, and so he ran to the door, and there was that man. This was like weeks later. He said, "Mr. Moody," he said, "I need to apologize to you." He said, "I have not been able to sleep one night because of the conviction that hit me when you asked me that question. Will you pray for me? I need to be a Christian." I thought about that. I thought, there's a guy. Moody is that guy. And that's why I get so excited about reading. That's why, can I just tell you something about, like, each week we keep track of contacts? Are you inviting somebody? Are you telling somebody about church? Are you telling somebody about Jesus? That's why we do that. I'm not saying every person you meet 24 hours you need to tell somebody and lead them to Christ. If God lays it on your heart, do it. I'm saying this, that we have to have that same desire. Are you inviting people to church? Can I be so bold as to say this? And it's on tape. If we're not inviting people to church, we're only viewing church as a country club and not an evangelistic center. Not somewhere where we can be discipled and we can get excited about our faith and get other people to come and get excited about their faith and get other people to come and get it. That's why we do Good News Crew. Because we want those little kids to know there's somebody out there that is excited about Jesus. And I promise you, neither one of the schools has said anything, "Don't get so excited about Jesus." We've never had him say a single word at either school. Last year, this year, the year before last, as we started in the spring, there was never that, "Well, you know, you can't talk about Jesus." We've never had that. We've had just the opposite. Just the opposite. Consuming a passion for the lost. And the last thing is this, and this is the only way the rest of these are going to work. He was endued with power from on high. I know this isn't in your notes, but I'm just kind of giving you some stuff, some food for thought here, okay? Moody was endued with power from on high. It wasn't just some kind of creative ability to speak something. "Well, you can stand up and talk. I can't talk." It wasn't anything about an ability or some kind of talent or skill. It was all about an endowment. Moody knew that God was at work in his life when he got saved. He knew that God called him. He knew that God was working and God wanted him to tell others about Jesus. But at the same time, he had a couple of these ladies, Free Methodist women. One was named Auntie Cook. We'll call her Jeanette. And the other one was named Mrs. Snow. We'll call her Shirley. I don't know. Anyway, these two women, they came to Moody after he preached. And they said, "Mr. Moody, God was there tonight. And we're praying for you." And they did this night after night after night. And finally, Mr. Moody said, "I appreciate you praying for me, but could you pray for those that don't know Jesus?" And they said, "We are, but we're really praying for you." And they're like, he's like, "Why?" Like, "We want you to get the Holy Spirit. We want you to get that endowment." And Moody listened. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't get upset. He didn't go off. He just listened. And sure enough, a few days later, he was walking down, of all places, Wall Street in New York City, okay? And the Holy Spirit came. And I think that's, I'm judging now. I think that's probably the last place I could see the Holy Spirit falling is on Wall Street. But he fell that day on D.L. Moody on Wall Street. And sure enough, Moody was like, "God, you got to stop right now. I got to get back to my room because if I don't, I'm going to do something stupid right here." And he's like, just hold on, God, hold on, God. And Moody went back to his room and the Lord fell. And Moody was never, never, never the same. He went on to London. Hundreds were added to the churches. Thousands came to hear him preach. Years and years and years. God wants to initiate something in you. I believe that. That's why we're studying this year. That's why we're walking through these seven steps of understanding the experiencing God from Blackamy, is because God wants to initiate, just like he did, and you can list all through the Old and New Testament and all through history, people God used, and he wants to initiate something in us. See, it would be so easy. It would be so easy for me to say, you know what? I'm now 60 years old, and I'm meeting with Grant Evans, and he's getting all my retirement all set up, and I can just kind of land this plane over here, and it's going to be cool, and just kind of coast into retirement, go off into the sunset and be a barista at Starbucks. You know that's the next phase. I'm not sure if it's McGalliard or Tillotson, but it's the next phase. But I could do that, and I could get all caught up in that. Now, I'm not going to go just the opposite. Hey, Grant, whatever you want to do with the money, forget it. I don't care. Obviously, I'm not going to go that crazy the opposite direction. But somewhere in there, God is initiating something that says this. You know what? You may be whatever age you think you are, but stop thinking about that and continue to think about the kingdom.
Amen.
And continue to think, and I'm going to go wacky and crazy on Tuesday afternoon, and you're invited to join us at Selma Elementary as Mr. Dave is there, and we're talking about and singing about Jesus, and we're learning about the fruit of the Spirit, and we understand that the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut, the fruit of the Spirit's not a banana, the fruit of the Spirit's not even a bunch of grapes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and we just do that song, and we go crazy, and these kids are like, there's something about those people. And they keep talking to us every month about the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? And we even have people that started coming to Harris Chapel because of what Good News Crew has done. Thanks to you. Thanks to you. But it's not just that. It's all kinds of places. It could be at the YMCA. It could be at MCL. It could be wherever you hang out. It could be down at the coffee shop at Mount Pleasant, wherever you hang out, that God wants to do the same thing with you. He's creating these circumstances around you which bring opportunities for ministry.
Yes.
He speaks through the Scripture. You say, I don't hear anything as I, well, you read some more. If you're not hearing him speak through the Scripture, read some more. He gives you an earnest desire that grows deeper as you pray. I don't feel that. Pray some more. It'll happen, I promise.
Yes.
I just can't help it. I've been in Scripture ever since I was 18 years old. I actually started at 12, but not really serious until I was 18. And it's still, we had a guy in one church, his name was Brother Rob Nett. A retired preacher, older gentleman, stately gentleman. And he used to say things like this. He lived up until his late 80s, early 90s. He said, every time I read that Bible, I find something new.
Right.
I'm like, hey, if Brother Rob Nett getting in the 90s can do that, so could young Jim. What is he telling us? And I can't get away from this last one. He creates circumstances around me which bring opportunity. There's all kinds of opportunities for ministry all around you, you know? All kinds of opportunities. I'm excited today. We're going to celebrate Dave here in a little bit when we go over next door. You're going to see some pictures. Do you know Dave at one time dressed up as an elf? One time he dressed up as Mrs. Santa Claus. I saw that. I saw him in one picture. He was a minion. In one picture, he kind of looked like a ninja warrior. I mean, he just does it all. But the thing I love more than anything is when Dave gets excited about Jesus around children and adults, and just, it's infectious. We need more of that. We got people these next few months, they're going to get so excited about a certain candidate. They're going to get so excited, who knows what they're going to get excited about. But what about us? It's God who is at work in you to will and work his will in you for his good pleasure. What does God want to initiate in you today? You say, Jim, I'm old. I mean, what do you mean initiate? Yeah, he wants to initiate. Makes no difference. Makes no difference. Let's stand together and pray. Would you stand with me and bow our heads and pray? If you want to come and join us at the altar, you're welcome to do that. One thing I've learned in prayer is that it's not so much about seeking for a bunch of new stuff. My prayer, first of all, and usually a lot of the time, has to center around me getting out of the way and getting rid of old stuff. Maybe that's your prayer today. God wants to initiate some pretty amazing things in your life. This Tuesday at 2:45 at Selma Elementary in the afternoon, he's going to initiate some exciting things in the lives of kids, and you're invited to be part of that. This Thursday, at a little before 3 o'clock at Monroe Central, same thing. What's he want to initiate through you? Maybe it's tomorrow morning when you go to the Y. Maybe it's after a while when you're fellowshipping and celebrating Dave, or tonight at home group. Whatever it is, let's pray about that. Would you like to come this morning as we pray? You're invited to kneel at the altar. You want to just step out and say, you know what? I'm seeking God to initiate something new in me. You know, when people come, I'll never forget, it was months ago when Laura came and she was really sensing God to lead our church through a night of worship and praise for generations. And we were all over that. We were excited about that because God initiated something in her heart and life. And I'm just so open. I'm so open. If God lays it on your heart and says, you know what, And what I see when God initiates something, He's recruiting you first. Does that make sense? It's never this thing of, well, I think our church needs to do that. No. And when God puts something in your heart, you're the first participant. And can I encourage you, just go for it. Don't allow the enemy to talk you out of what God wants to talk you into. Can I say that again? And listen carefully. Don't allow the enemy to talk you out of what God wants to talk you into. Because God is eager with all the energy of heaven to work in you, to will, to do His work for His good pleasure. Jesus, help us to hear that scripture again and again. Help us just to obsess over Philippians 2:13 about a God in heaven who is so eager and so anxious and so ready to do in us more than we can imagine or think. And that leads us to another scripture. But He's so eager and willing to do in us His will. Help us to see that and help us to embrace that and help us to live that out. So we're not coasting. We're not coasting. And we're not looking for a safe landing spot. Father, we're going to keep on doing the will of the Father. We're going to keep on building the kingdom. We're going to keep on expanding the kingdom. We're going to keep on seeking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And with every ounce of fiber being in our fiber, every ounce of your presence in us, we're going to do that thing that will bring others to Jesus, that will help disciple others so they can bring others to Jesus, that will help disciple others so they can bring others to Jesus. May it be so. It's not so much that we're anxious to see this room flooded with people wall to wall, standing around the sides. It's that we are totally anxious and excited and praying that heaven will be filled with people. Yes. That heaven will be wall to wall with people standing around the sides. That people will be drawn to you and filled with you and empowered by you. Thank you for George Mueller. Thank you for Dwight L. Moody. Thank you for each person standing in this room right now. Within the sound of this prayer, we believe there are Muellers all over the place, and there are Moody's all over the place. Raise them up. Speak into us, Jesus. Initiate what you want to do. We think of that old song of the church. It says, you know, when I come to the garden, He speaks, the sound of His voice is so sweet. Help us to listen for Your voice day by day. Help us to listen and help us to follow. Gladly follow. Eagerly follow. And may we have the same passion for You that You have for us, if that's even possible. We pray that it happens, though. Speak to the needs of our church family. We know there are those that have concerns today, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. Those that are recovering from surgeries, thank You for touching Steve Reese. Continue to be with him. Those that are in hospital rooms today, like Shirley Reese. Those that are facing surgery, like Don Coates and others, Lord, that just need a touch from You today. In the midst of all that, Your kingdom come, Your will be done in our hearts and our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen.